The fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
We are live on the most censored, demonized, lied about, but groundbreaking, informative, cutting-edge news organization on the face of the earth, and that's InfoWars. Here on this Wednesday, January 23rd, 2019, I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. My co-host, Roger Stone, joins me in just a moment. Before we get into the main transmission today, one of the coolest things about my job and one of the most rewarding things about my job, and I genuinely mean this, is when I get to go out into the field, go out into the scenes, meet like-minded people, meet new friends, hear from you, hear your stories. And today was one of those days. I went and did a live stream from the State Capitol building here in Austin, Texas today. It was live from about noon to 1 and was just covering the Covington Catholic High School story, how the media continues to lie about that, covering Trump's presidency and some other stuff. I had a MAGA hat on, and it happened to be a high school day down at the state capitol, so there were a bunch of local high schools out there. And as I've told you here on the War Room before, amongst high school students, InfoWars is extremely popular amongst the youth. Now, what you're seeing here is a moment that I shared with some of these young men from Holy Cross High School. And I want to give them a big shout out. They were one of the many groups of high schoolers that were there today. Here's a young man who says he wants to be the next senator of Texas. I think he can do it. He gave us a little pitch there for why he should be the senator. He shared his social media. If you want to go check out that video, it's on the War Room's Facebook page. So they came up to me. They were very kind, very gentlemanly. They talked a little bit of politics, talked a little bit of fun. But it's always great to go out and meet like-minded people, especially the youth who are the future of this country. And it's always refreshing, and it gives me hope when I see such smart, intelligent, well-rounded young gentlemen that are going to be inheriting the future. I just want to make sure that they have a future with prosperity to inherit so that they can take us to the next level. So I want to give a big shout out to Holy Cross High School. You guys looked like you had a great time there today. Looked like a good trip for you. I know there were other high schools out there as well that came up and stopped by and said hello, other kids. Shout out to you too. But specifically, the Holy Cross guys were really cool. So we're going to give some of them a shout out if you want to say hello to them. And you can follow them on Twitter. Go ahead and let's get some of these Twitter accounts. At Kova01, at Ramon Harley Diaz, at Hector Flores Jr. All right, yeah, we're rolling through these right now. Some of them are private, so you're going to have to get their permission. They're smart kids. They don't like being totally out in the open. At PWeb_17, at Gibby_722, and at Mateo Alvarez 6, we've got people that are on the robotics team, people that are in powerlifting, on the football team, on the golf team, all different talents from those young men. We give them a shout out. And I'm going to go ahead and send them some T-shirts. And if they want a hat, they really wanted a hat. But I told them if they want a hat, they have to do an InfoWars challenge or an InfoWars Army challenge. And they're going to post a bunch of flyers or stickers around their high school with Infowars.com on them, or with Ban Alex Jones on, or Alex Jones's band, Stop the Censorship, on them. We'll see. We're going to send them a little care package with some T-shirts and some stickers, and we'll see what happens if they deserve a hat. I think it was Mateo that was the one that was begging me for my hat. He said he'd give me $5 for it. I said, that's not going to do it. But if you do an Infowars challenge, maybe I'll send you a hat. So big shout out to those young guys. I know they're tuned in right now. It's always great to meet young fans, and it's always great to meet the youth of America and just find out that, you know what, they're not brainwashed by the propaganda. They don't hate America, and they're just smart kids who want to have a future, that study hard, stay focused. And it's refreshing to see that, because we don't see that too much anymore. We see the garbage on social media, with the low IQ people like Cardi B being pushed to the youth. That's not the influence we want on our youth, a bunch of twerkers. We want intellectual people that want to build a prosperous future for America. So big shout out to those Holy Cross gentlemen. the War Room on this Wednesday, January 23rd, 2019. Just blasting through time and space and history together as history is happening right before our eyes right now. In fact, you have two breaking stories happening right now. You have the U.S. saying they recognize Guaido as the president of Venezuela. I may be pronouncing that wrong, guys. In fact, let's make sure I don't do that again. And let's see if we can get the correct pronunciation of that so I don't look like a total moron more than once. And you've got Nancy Pelosi saying that she is going to cancel the State of the Union. Now, this is craziness. What's going on in Venezuela will develop, we'll cover. Nancy Pelosi trying to cancel the State of the Union, which is just coming right now. This has just been announced. This is next level. Now, again, think logically about this. Because before this becomes the big news cycle, like it's destined to become now, and will this be the story that gets the Covington Catholic boys out of the mainstream media headlines, where you have Savannah Guthrie putting a young child, the kid, I don't know how old, it looks like 14 years old. He's up there with his rosy red cheeks and his combed hair, and he looks like a child. And Savannah Guthrie is just ruthless and gutless and attacks the youth. And it's just like, my God, you people are sick. You got exposed as total fake news. You hoaxed a story to harass and you threatened to kill teenagers and you double and triple down. You are sick people. But now with the Venezuela news breaking, with Nancy Pelosi saying she's going to cancel the State of the Union, all of a sudden the things start to shift and turn. So, again, though, you ask yourself this before Roger Stone joins us, and I'll ask him this. Roger, I think logically, and I say, Nancy Pelosi wants to cancel the State of the Union address. Why? Well, she says for security concerns. Well, hold up. Hold the phone. What security concerns are we talking about here? Because let's go with the Democrat logic, Roger. Let's go with the logic of the left, Roger. Gun control works, and D.C. is a gun-free zone, and you cannot bring a gun into the House chambers. So therefore, there's no threat of gun violence, so that's not a security concern. Also, there's no such thing as radical Islamic terror. That's why it's okay to have an open border. It's okay to have people that are Muslim in Congress saying that Israel doesn't have a right to exist. It's all perfectly fine. It's okay to go to the Mall of America, and it looks like the Mall of America stand. That's all fine because there's no radical Islamic terror. It's a wild truck attack that maybe says Allahu Akbar. It's actually just an engine misfiring. So there's no radical Islamic terror, Roger. It's a gun-free zone in D.C., so there's no threat to guns. So I'm just trying to figure out, what is the security concern, Roger? What is the security concern that Nancy Pelosi says we have to shut down the State of the Union when it's obviously not guns, because gun control works, and it's obviously not radical Islamic terror, because that doesn't exist. So what am I missing here, Roger? Why is it a security concern?
Well, this is the same Nancy Pelosi who said that the great tragedy of the president canceling her trip to the Middle East was that she was going to visit the troops, and the troops will now be dispirited because she's not visiting them. When we both understand that the vast majority of men and women serving this country in uniform despise Nancy Pelosi and don't want to see her, have no interest in seeing her. Look, the woman is delusional, but to me, this is a golden opportunity. The president has the bully pulpit. The State of the Union address can be from wherever he gives it from. Now, given the atmospherics and the broadcast quality of his last Oval Office speech, I would not urge him to give it from the Oval Office. He's the president of the United States. He can give it from wherever he wants. I would urge him to give it from somewhere outside of Washington, someplace where there are real Americans. And I think he will get just as big an audience, perhaps a bigger audience, than the faked event in which the Democrats will sit on their hands and members of the Congressional Black Caucus will not stand up for the president of the United States. And the camera will pan to Eric Swalwell and Adam Schiff and Maxine Waters scowling and Adam Schiff's eyes popping out like he's on drugs. Nobody wants to see that. So I think the president has been handed a golden opportunity. give the State of the Union address from someplace else. He certainly got a lot of good news, Owen. 500,000, a half million manufacturing jobs created in the last quarter alone. This is extraordinary news. These are the jobs that Barack Obama said were never coming back. 4.8 million jobs created overall. Record stock market, even with the corrections. GDP almost double the average under Barack Obama. This is an American success story. He's got a lot to talk about, but it's also a golden opportunity yet again for him to reframe the arguments as to why we need to secure our southern border, why we need the wall, and frankly, it's time to talk about reining in our rogue intelligence agencies who no longer know the rule of law. It's time to talk about reform at the CIA and the FBI. I'd throw those into my speech as well if I were the president.
Roger, I think you're onto something so brilliant, and I really wish that this is. I mean, we give Trump ideas all the time. It's you know, they hardly ever end up happening, but this is actually next level. He should do the State of the Union in the same style that he does a rally. And so he announces it like a rally. He gets 50,000 roaring Americans to show up chanting, build that wall, USA, USA. And here's what will happen, Roger, because here's the beauty of it. The media will ignore it. They'll try to censor it. They'll act like it won't happen. And then after this amazing rally that will go down, this amazing State of the Union that would go down in history, the media would be attacking it, demonizing it, lying about it. Oh, my gosh. It would be a total ace card for President Trump to do that. Imagine that atmosphere and the optics of that as a State of the Union. He already got, like you said, he already got the Democrats on film scowling at the record low unemployment numbers. He already got the Democrats on film scowling that he wants to protect the border. Now let's go get the American people 50,000 strong chanting, build that wall. Oh, Roger, imagine how the mainstream media would react to that. Oh, my gosh.
Well, what we'd have immediately, of course, is a giant debate among the three networks and the two cable news networks about whether they should cover it at all. They would never, of course, make that argument if the president were Barack Obama. But then if Barack Obama had announced that he was withdrawing our troops from Syria, they would give him yet another Nobel Peace Prize. So there are different rules for this president, but I really think he should seize the initiative. I'm not sure about the rally format, but I do think he needs to have a citizen-based format, someplace where he talks to the American people. Again, the State of the Union is from wherever he chooses to make the address. And the petty effort by Nancy Pelosi to stop him from giving it in the halls of Congress where it's legally supposed to be just demonstrates the intransigence of the Democrats. No, she thought that she and 93 other members of the family of these members of Congress should be sent on a junket around the world, eating taxpayer-paid food, drinking taxpayer-funded booze to visit people, our troops, who hate her guts and don't want to see her. There's a waste of taxpayer money. Why don't you take that money and give it to those who are not being paid in the federal shutdown? It'd be a better use of the money. So you got to love Donald Trump for killing their airplane flight and their bennies, but that's caused us to look at the overall cost of alcohol for Nancy Pelosi since she's been the leader. It's over $1 million. That's a lot of booze.
Oh my gosh. That's it, Roger. Nancy Pelosi has spent more than $1 million on booze. I think that's about all you need to know about that dingbat. Good Lord. So there you go, folks. I mean, look, the Democrat Party is so out of control. Everybody knows it. It's just Trump has to continue to expose these people, man. Canceling the State of the Union, and you complain about a government shutdown you never did under Obama, you're still taking a paycheck? These people are total phonies.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Roger Stone with you here today. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with this Venezuela deal. Is this going to end up being another accomplishment of Donald Trump ousting the socialist dictate in Venezuela and trying to return some stability and order to our neighbors in the South? Wow, that's developing right now. Before I bring Roger Stone back in, folks, got to remind you about InfoWarsStore.com. Let's see. Here are some of my favorite products that I just have with me right now. We've got the brand new Turbo Force, which is really just a, for me, I think that this is just a great replacement of energy drinks because it has the caffeine, plus it has other vitamins and minerals in it, and it just doesn't have the bad chemicals and ingredients in it that you'll get in most energy drinks. And you just mix it with filtered water and you're good to go. And that's Turbo Force from InfoWarsStore.com. It's on sale at an introductory rate of 33% off. I mean, look at this. You're getting your daily serving of vitamin C. I mean, it's all on here, folks. You can go look at the ingredients for yourself. It's got the taurine and other great supplements in there as well. So read about that. It's 33% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. You've got the bodies, which people are always calling in about, raving about. I talk about it all the time. I love using it after a heavy workout to avoid the soreness the next day. So you go to the gym, you do 100 squats, your legs are going to be barking the next day. Well, you take some of the bodies and the bark goes away. So that's why I like it. But there's all kinds of great uses for bodies to rid yourself of soreness and inflammation. You hear those reviews on air. People call in. You can read the reviews for yourself at InfoWarsStore.com. And the polo that I am wearing today, the InfoWars Hexagon logo polo. I am a big fan of it. Very comfortable, high quality. And of course, it's got the InfoWars Hexagon logo on there that's very sharp. So go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Check out all the great shirts, hats, supplements. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. And it's your support there that makes us able to operate and continue to go on air and file reports and put out content despite all of the censorship that Alex and InfoWars endures here at InfoWars.com. Of course, Roger in that boat as well. Censored on many social media outlets. And Roger, I'm asking myself and my audience now the intellectual question moving into 2020. And I don't want this to be misconstrued. It often is. But we have to think about this, Roger. Donald Trump has done a lot of great things. No denying it. Getting us out of the Paris Climate Accord, TPP, working for new trade deals, forgetting about the political correctness and just moving forward, bringing the jobs back, repatriating funds, exposing the Democrats, at least wanting to do something at the border. It's been a struggle. Filling his promise of moving the embassy to Jerusalem, whether you like it or not, he fulfilled the promise. So there's all this great stuff. No doubt, President Trump's list of accomplishments, just sparkling great. But moving to 2020, Roger, we have to ask ourselves, what are the big issues for 2020? Well, we look at internet censorship. That's a big issue. We look at the violence of the domestic terrorist left that is bashing people, abusing people, assaulting people, bullying people, doxing people all across America, ruining people's lives. Covington Catholic, just the most recent example. Trump does nothing about that. So these are two issues that I look at for 2020 as big issues for me. I'd like to see President Trump take these issues on as a campaign issue for 2020. I'm not seeing any signs of that yet, Roger. But moving forward to 2020, I mean, what's your approach to 2020 and what we should look at as far as the main issues moving forward?
Well, Owen, as I said yesterday, and I still believe, there are two threshold issues that the president must deal with in order to have any prospect of reelection in 2020. The first one of is, of course, internet censorship. There's literally no prospect whatsoever that he can get reelected if the mainstream media is able to control the political narrative as they did prior to the rise of our current internet coverage. Because no matter how good the economy is, they will tell the American people that the economy is terrible. And as the president tries to galvanize his campaign themes, they will continue to report a false counter narrative. The other one is to direct his Justice Department to deal immediately with the question of ballot security. We cannot win a 2020 election for the House or the Senate or the White House unless we have an honest count. I don't believe we had an honest count. I'm right here at Ground Zero in Florida, and I can tell you they were finding and bringing in suddenly found ballots from all over the state and dumping them right here in Broward County, where Brenda Snipes, the epically corrupt and incompetent director of the Board of Elections, was willfully counting them. And the idea was to supply enough votes to defeat Ron DeSantis, the Republican candidate for governor, now, thank God, the governor of Florida, and Rick Scott, the billionaire former governor who's now moved to the United States Senate. The U.S. Senate race turned out to be much closer than the gubernatorial race. By the way, Governor Ron DeSantis, in his first official act, killed the appeal against smokable medicinal marijuana set up by his predecessor, Governor Rick Scott. Bravo for you, Governor Ron DeSantis. An excellent move. 73% of the people in this state, 63% of the people in the state supported the legalization of medicinal marijuana. The legislature passed a boneheaded law that said you could vape it or ingest it, but you couldn't smoke it. John Morgan, a proponent of that law, of the legalization, challenged that in court, and he won. Governor Rick Scott, against all reasonable legal advice, appealed that decision. And now Governor Ron DeSantis has vacated that appeal. Bravo for you, Governor DeSantis, and kudos for a courageous move. So it is extraordinary that we are at this place. But, Owen, you have to recognize that when you're president, you exist in a cocoon. And you only know, sadly, that which you are exposed to on the television set, or which you're being told by your inner circle. Well, in so many cases, the president's inner circle do not share the objectives of you and I and the rest of the folks here at InfoWars and the many millions, 63 million people who voted for Donald Trump. And therefore, you don't know what he knows. You don't know how much he knows. We know his heart's in the right place. He's tweeted about internet censorship. He's tweeted about ballot security. But tweets are not law. Tweets are just a sense of resolution. Now it is time to act. And if he does not act, doesn't matter what a great job he does on the economy, and he's doing a great job, they will steal the next election.
Could not agree more. You were right about the midterms. I still owe you a steak dinner for that. And if President Trump wants to win, you're right, Roger. He has to act against the social media censorship, and he has to act to protect the voting process. Just get rid of anything. I mean, the Democrats don't even want a voter ID law, folks. They don't want a citizenship question on the census. I mean, do you know who these people are yet?
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. Warning, this broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, I have an update, and I'm not going to say too much, but people are asking, and I did go public with this yesterday. But as many of the audience members are aware here today, I was sexually assaulted or sexually abused on a misdemeanor level. I read the law. I was reviewing it all this morning before I officially pressed charges. I have officially pressed charges against the woman that grabbed and squeezed my genitalia in the Women's March in D.C. Charges have been pressed, and I'm just going to leave it at that for now. And I will give you an update when I have one. But it is official. I have officially pressed charges against this woman. And whenever I get an update on what happens next, I'll let you know. And it's funny how the universe works, because yesterday, in fact, I haven't even mentioned the guest I have coming up. Yesterday, I covered a video from Tommy Sotomayor. And yesterday, Tommy Sotomayor covered a video from me. And so he's going to be joining the show today. as well as MAGA Titan and Enrique Tarrio, who were at the Women's March. I think it was in, I don't know where it was, may have been in Florida, where a woman threatened to kill them. And then there was almost a fisticuffs. So we'll talk to them about that. Joey Gibson joins me at 4:30. Just to, in general, talk about what's going on in the Northwest, folks. It is sickening what the left is doing up there. And then the other weird thing of the, how the universe works, well, it's just crazy. Maybe I'll talk about it later. But the point is, I'm moving forward. I have officially pressed charges. It's being looked into. And the next update I have for you on that, I will let you know. Okay, now, where do we want to go from here with my co-host, Roger Stone? There's really so many different places we can go. But Roger, one of the big things I'd like to press President Trump on as we move forward to 2020, because I don't want this to go on another 4 years, and that's the Russian collusion investigation, the special counsel costing us millions of dollars and dividing this country, Roger. It's time for President Trump to shut that down. So I'm just looking at the issues, you know, for me, I think that the big issues in 2020, stopping the Russian collusion, fake investigation, fake narrative, stop that dead in its tracks. I'd like to see the documents released that show the crimes of the Obama administration, but, you know, maybe we can't get that from President. But let's at least end this collusion false narrative that's destroying the country and costing us millions of dollars. Let's do something with some antitrust violations to stop the internet censorship. And, I mean, those to me are two of the biggest ones, Roger, that I would love to see President Trump address immediately. And if he could do something about all the domestic terrorism going on right now from the radical left, if you wear a Trump hat, that would be nice too. So as Trump's base, you know, how do we measure what we want from Trump in a 2020 campaign and then what we feel we want from anybody in a 2020 election? Because to me, I can't deal another 4 years of the censorship. I can't deal another 4 years of the Russian collusion narrative. I can't deal another 4 years of the leftist domestic terrorists, Roger. I just can't do it. And if we're not going to get a president that's going to do something about it, I don't know if I'm ready to commit to another 4 years of that. What's your take, Roger?
Well, first of all, let me comment on that extraordinary video that I saw of the woman sexually assaulting you at the Women's March in Washington. You may not know this, but we interviewed the woman for Stone Cold Truth. She, Owen says, your bankroll is not the only thing that's big. Now, I don't know. But it's extraordinary, particularly if you look at that footage from the Women's March in Orlando, where one of the Florida activists went to the march dressed as a giant male member, which was perfectly safe because, of course, no woman at the Women's March would touch such a thing. But the derision, the hatred, the name-calling, the anti-gay slurs, the anti-white slurs against protesters when they're at a protest. So they love free speech as long as it's theirs. And they object to the notion of the Me Too movement, yet they turn around and a woman inappropriately grabs you, showing that they're one set of rules for leftists and a different set of rules for conservatives and other Americans. Shocking. Just the fact that we're still talking about Russian collusion in what is coming on the fourth year of the president's term is outrageous. Tonight, I joined Tucker Carlson on Tucker Carlson Tonight. Talk about the incredibly negative effect that this witch hunt has had on me and my family, essentially driving us to the brink of bankruptcy. In December, I lost my health and life insurance because I could no longer pay the premiums. I had to sell the car which I owned because I could no longer keep it up. It is extraordinary, and I still won't bend. I still won't bear false witness against the president. I still won't lie. So, yes, I'd like to see the president end this tomorrow, either by telling his acting attorney general to limit the investigation to the parameters of Russian collusion, which there isn't any of, or by counterattacking by declassifying the FISA warrant applications and determining whether there are additional illegal FISA warrants, which I know for a fact that there are. And who else was under surveillance? And who else did the FBI send to entrap and try to compromise Donald Trump's friends and advisors? Why was an FBI agent approaching me in May of 2016, 2 months before the FBI says they opened their phony investigation into allegations of Donald Trump and Russian collusion? The president needs to act aggressively because, as I have said here many times, the Democrats intend to enact articles of impeachment on any flimsy excuse they can find. They would like to do so on the basis of Russian collusion. That would allow them to replace both the president and the vice president under articles of impeachment on the basis that their election was somehow fraudulent. This would make Nancy Pelosi president. That creates a vacuum, a vacancy in the vice presidency. Pelosi would then appoint Hillary Clinton and resign. And Hillary Clinton, the most epic, criminal, foul-mouthed, craven, greedy, short-tempered, self-centered, corrupt kleptocrat to ever walk the face of the earth, would finally, on her third attempt, become president. That is their plan. No, it is not a right-wing conspiracy theory. It is exactly what they have in mind. Donna Brazile blurted it out on her Twitter feed. It's there for all to see. If that fails, they'll try their 28th Amendment hocus pocus. But the ruling elite, the two-party duopoly that has run this country into the ground, is determined to remove this president on any under any means necessary, under any scam required. They will run a silent coup. They just wonder whether the American people will stand for it. The president has said, and we reported right here on InfoWars, that he has told intimates that he doesn't believe that that will happen, that there would be an insurrection in the country, and I agree with that. This is where we are headed into 2020. Still talking about the Russian collusion delusion, still investigating crimes that don't exist. Meanwhile, the crimes of the Obamas and the Clintons, Uranium One, the use of illegal FISA warrants, the infiltration of the Trump campaign by the FBI, all of it unexplored, not on page one, not in the news. So it's a distraction, in my opinion.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Roger. That's what I'm saying. It's like, do they really think they can pull this off? Do they really think they can pull some media hoax, some Democrat hoax, remove President Trump, who's the most popular president in modern history, bar none? Even the rigged polls have him highly approved. I mean, if they really think they can pull that off, I mean, look, Trump's not perfect. And, you know, I don't put all my faith in Trump here, but I understand the battle. America understands the battle. And the American people understand if you remove Trump, you just removed a duly elected president. You just got rid of the Constitution. You just got rid of the Republic. We won't stand for that. I mean, I'm stunned that they think they could actually pull that off. I wonder if they really believe that.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The War Room with Owen Schroyer and Roger Stone. This is where we break down the daily political doings of the day and expose the latest foibles of the fake news media, the deep state, and the globalists who would move us aggressively to one world government. Owen, what's up next on the hit parade? One thing I want to mention quickly is a terrific piece we just posted on the InfoWars.com site. Anybody who watched the funeral coverage for former President George H.W. Bush may have missed the real story of one of the most dangerous men and the only CIA director to ever become president. This piece by the veteran New York Times investigative reporter Seymour Hersh outlines a number of illegal operations Vice President George Bush undertook behind the back of President Ronald Reagan. We know that as vice president, George Bush operated a cocaine smuggling ring in which cocaine was shipped and imported to MENA, Arkansas, sold for cash, and that cash was used to illegally finance the Nicaraguan Contras after the Congress made such funding from taxpayer funds illegal. You can read about this and more in my book, The Bush Crime Family. If you get a moment, see that piece at InfoWars. It's a must read. Owen?
Well, Roger, this kind of brings us to the larger issue, which would be the CIA in general. Now, you talk about the CIA, you know, running drugs, drug trafficking, cocaine. You mentioned the operations they had out of MENA, Arkansas, where there were a couple of young men that died. They said, oh, yeah, they were smoking some marijuana and passed out on the train tracks. Oh, yeah, I'm sure they did. I got a bridge to sell you underwater on Mars while you're at it. Believe in that. You've got the Mockingbird Press that got exposed during the Frank Church hearings. And then you've got the declassification of the JFK files from President Trump 2 years ago, where it talks about the CIA covering up the assassination of JFK, covering up the multiple shooter angle, covering up the involvement at the highest levels of U.S. government. So there's all of this stuff that we know about the corruption in the CIA, intelligence agencies lying about weapons of mass destruction, lying about the Gulf of Tonkin, lying about babies in incubators. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And, you know, the Covington Catholic Boys High School story, Roger, is going to be a paramount moment for exposing the fake news media for what it is. And what happened to those boys is unfair. And what continues to happen to that school and that community is unbelievable. But still to this day, it's like now they're like people invading that community now in Kentucky. But Roger, I mean, on the grand scale here, it's really a minor issue. Again, I mean, I feel bad for those boys in the school, but like we're talking about the mainstream media that's lied us into war in Iraq, where people died, thousands, hundreds of thousands, lied us to a war in Vietnam, lying us into any war they want to get us involved in. So really people need to take a step back and realize, look, the media trying to destroy and harass these teenage boys is like low-level garbage for them. I mean, there's a reason why they feel that they can triple down on this false narrative and get away with it. Because they've lied us into wars where millions of people have died. So, I mean, Roger, where do we draw the line here and say, look, we need major reform at the CIA. We need major reform at the FBI. And maybe we kind of piggyback this government shutdown and say, you know what, let's just go ahead and continue this government shutdown. Let's take it one step further. I think this country will be quite all right without some of these FBI, CIA, deep state embeds in there corrupting things.
Well, I would say two things. First of all, the president should direct his attorney general, his acting attorney general, to conduct an investigation into the activities of former CIA director John Brennan. This is the same John Brennan who, as the station chief in Ridda in Saudi, approved the visas for several of the men who hijacked and attacked the United States on 9/11. This is the same John Brennan who converted to radical Islam himself. This is the same John Brennan who authorized the spying on President Donald Trump. This is the same John Brennan who spied on a Senate committee investigating illegal torture by the CIA. This man's crimes go on and on. He's a psychopath. He's a loudmouth. And he thinks he's a power unto himself. This guy has broken multiple laws, but he thinks he is above justice and he keeps threatening the president of the United States on Twitter. It's time for a full investigation of his entire career of public service. And I think you will find that he's the most corrupt CIA director we have ever had. And he's involved in multiple crimes, including the illegal use of surveillance in the 2016 campaign. I bet he is fully aware of the FBI infiltration of Donald Trump's campaign. John Brennan, public enemy number one. You can find a great piece I wrote about him at InfoWars.com. But you're absolutely right. The president needs to rein in these rogue intelligence services. He can start by firing Christopher Wray, his FBI director. Where did this swamp creature come from? Here's what we know. Just 10 days ago, the New York Times reported accurately that on the heels of the firing of James Comey, the FBI opened an investigation, what they called a counter-espionage investigation, into whether Donald Trump was, quote-unquote, working for the Russians. They did this with no probable cause and no evidence. They did it out of spite because of the epic corrupt criminal, Comey, who covered up Hillary Clinton's illegal use of a secret email server, had been fired. Now, the FBI director lied under oath to Congress about this investigation, and he lied to the president's face about his investigation, as did Rod Rosenstein. But then we knew Rod Rosenstein was a bad apple. But the president's own FBI director betrayed him. Why is this swamp creature still on the job? I'm calling on the president right now to fire his FBI director and replace him with somebody who could actually do the job and be loyal to the country, to the Constitution, and to the president. For example, former New York Police Commissioner Ray Kelly, someone Donald Trump has known for over 30 years, a man of enormous integrity who could do this job. Christopher Wray was recommended for this position by Chris Christie. He looks like he should be a dealer behind one of the crap tables in Atlantic City. He's the wrong man for the job. He is deep state down to his underwear, and he has lied to the face of the president of the United States. Donald Trump should say, you're fired.
Well, and really, he shouldn't stop there. I think he should go on and he should retract his nomination of William Barr, again, a guy who's deep state to his underwear. But I mean, Roger, I mean, let me ask you this, because it's hard to believe that Trump is appointing these people with a fully vetted, informative, you know, background check. The guy who said drain the swamp and then ends up appointing, nominating these swamp creatures. I mean, is President Trump being misinformed? Is he making deals with these people? Is he being tricked? I mean, what does he think he can win them over, bring them around? I mean, what do you think is going on here? Has the president just been genuinely deceived by these people and people in his administration that tell him, no, this is the nominee that you want?
Again, I think he's operating on the basis of partial information. So, yes, in a way, he's being deceived. I'm sure the fact that Mr. Barr has been previously approved by the U.S. Senate and the fact that he wrote a memo that he circulated to his friends criticizing some aspects of the Mueller investigation were held up to the president as two strong indicators why he should be nominated. The fact that he oversaw the cocaine trafficking operation in Mena, Arkansas, while working for George Bush, that was probably not on his resume. I'm just guessing. So, yeah, I think the president has been misled. And I question the role of Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law. How much of this stuff does he know, and how much of it is he telling the president? Thank goodness we are rid of John Kelly, because I think he was concealing a great deal from the president. I say let Trump be Trump. The president's instincts are solid. His heart is pure. He really believes in the American dream and American exceptionalism and American sovereignty. And when he has all the facts, it is my experience that he makes good decisions. He only makes bad decisions when he doesn't have all the facts. And he has a full plate, let's face it. Running this country is a monumental task. And unfortunately, in many cases, he has surrounded himself with certified swamp creatures who did not vote for him, do not support his agenda, and who think their job is to dilute what he was trying to do, to water it down, to slow it down, to stall it, in some cases to block it. The president has been disserved by so many on his White House staff, it's hard to fathom. Where are the Trump supporters around Donald Trump? Where are the trusted people who believe, other than Stephen Miller, who I think understands the mission? He has surrounded himself with establishment Republicans who don't serve him well. Owen, it's been great to be with you here on the War Room. We ask our compatriots one more time, go to the Infowars.com store. Have my back. Have Owen's back. Get your Hexagon shirt now. Buy your copy of Stone's Rules. You'll be glad you did. Thank you, and we'll see you tomorrow.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's the deal. For the next 2 hours, I've got a lot of great guests coming up. I've got MAGA Titan and Enrique Tarrio joining me. They were at a women's march. They got threatened with murder. I mean, geez. So they'll be breaking that down. 4:30 Central, Joey Gibson is going to be joining me. GibsonForFreedom.com, just to break down what's going on in the Northwest right now, folks. It's really incredible how Antifa and these leftist terrorists are just basically running roughshod over the Northwest. I mean, it's unbelievable what they're doing to people's lives. Jumping people, stalking people, doxing people, interrupting their weddings. I mean, it's just truly remarkable that the cops are doing nothing about that. And then Tommy Sotomayor, who really does just awesome videos on YouTube that I've been following for a long time, and has recently had some other videos go viral. And this is what I was saying earlier. It's funny how the universe works. So I've reached out to Tommy Sotomayor in the past, and I've never been able to get through. But yesterday, I was covering a Tommy Sotomayor video where he went to a Hooters, and he was wearing a Trump hat, and he was dealing with discrimination because he had a Trump hat on. And I was covering that on the War Room. He was covering my video getting sexually assaulted at the Women's March on his channel. And so then we made the connection, and he's going to be joining me at 5 o'clock. But in another strange way that the universe works, yesterday we had a nice woman call in. I believe her name was Sandra. And she made a good call, but you know, she was saying things that I just didn't really agree with per se, and I didn't want to get behind. And specifically that was, she's calling in saying, you know, why do you stand up for Mike Cernovich when he throws you under the bus? To which, you know, my general response is I don't view it as Mike Cernovich throwing us under the bus. I understand what Mike Cernovich does as far as his media coverage is concerned. A lot of people don't. So I don't really view it that way. And I don't do the infighting. And I think Mike Cernovich has done just as much for the Make America Great Again movement, whether you think he's part of it or not, as anyone else. So, and I just personally don't care if people want to throw me under the bus or talk trash. I don't care. I don't take myself too seriously. I'm obsessed with the information and getting it out. But so the caller calls in and is kind of saying, hey, Cernovich is a bad guy. Why do you stand up for him? Well, guess what? In my pursuit of justice against the woman that sexually assaulted me, there were a lot of people from the media that reached out to me just to say, hey, saw the video, you know, hope you're okay, everything. But there was only one person in the media that actually wanted to help me track down my assaultant, and that was Mike Cernovich. So it's just funny how the universe works like that. And again, I don't want to get too much into it, but I have pressed charges officially against the woman that sexually assaulted me, and it is moving forward. Are you talking to me right now? I got something in my ear. Are you meaning to talk to me? All right. Sorry, I was a little confused. All right, so anyway, I just wanted to put that out there because people are asking me. So I have officially pressed charges against the woman that sexually assaulted me. And notice this, because this is how this is going to go. This is actually going to be, no, I'll go ahead and say this now. This is going to be a very interesting key score to kind of analyze where we're at right now intellectually, because here's what's going to happen. I mean, my guess is, I mean, I've got the case. It's basically open shut. We'll see what happens with this. But let's just say, this woman gets charged with sexual assault. Now, notice how we didn't publicly dox this woman. We didn't call for her public harassment. We didn't want to ruin her life. We didn't put her family on blast. We didn't want people to go out and torment her and harass her or anything like that. None of that happened. Not once. Never wanted that. Never happened. Never even was an issue. But if you're a young boy at Covington Catholic, the entire left wants to destroy your life, even call for your murder. So just look at that difference between the left and the right. But here's the real crazy thing that's going to happen if this case ends up going through, and we'll see if any media wants to cover it. She'll get charged with sexual assault or sexual abuse misdemeanor or both, and then they will use that to say, look at the double standards of conservatives that support Trump. They actually think that Donald Trump is going around grabbing women in their vagina, folks. That never happened. It was a joke on a tape that they think actually happened. That's how delusional they are. So that's how they justify acting like this. The brain force. I don't think I can go on, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to have the brain force. In fact, I've got the whole crew right now. I've taken all my brain force that's here at the desk. So I have the whole crew running around looking for some brain force right now so that I can go on. So while the crew is looking for that, we're getting MAGA Titan and Enrique Tarrio set up to be my guests here for the next 30 minutes to talk about their experience at a women's march where, you know, it was nice. They got threatened with murder, a lady saying that you need to be shot dead. So, you know, it's nice. It's nice the stuff they deal with. While the crew looks for this brain force, there is a news update. Again, Representative Dan Crenshaw is turning out to be one of the great patriots in Congress, ladies and gentlemen. This guy really needs our prayers and support. And he highlights this on his Twitter account. Last week, the House GOP voted to pay federal employees their first paycheck of 2019 despite shutdown. Only six Democrats voted with us, and it failed. Clearly proving the Democrats' priority is not paying workers or opening the government. It's opposing Trump. Absolutely. And, of course, we know that. You know that. It's all about how the media lies and deceives to act like, oh, yeah, the Democrats just want people paid. The Democrats just want to open the government. Bull. Total bull. 110% bull. It's bull. And I'm sorry. I'm starting to get mad. I'm going to calm down. I'm going to slow my heart rate. It's total lies from these people all the time. The Democrats and the mainstream media working together to deceive the public. And it makes me so mad. It makes me so angry that I quit working in sports media, a job that people would dream of having, rubbing shoulders with Peyton Manning, watching NFL games from the sideline, going to playoff games and Stanley Cup hockey games. I mean, I'm genuinely ticked off that the Democrats lie about who they are and the mainstream media lets them do it. So here are the voting results for roll call 43. Republicans proposed the notion to pay the federal employees that aren't getting paid during the shutdown, to pay them their first paycheck and to reopen the government. And who voted for it? The Republicans. Who voted against it? The Democrats. Again, proving that the Democrats are total frauds and total liars. Unbelievable. Now, I got to say in the meantime, the fact that nobody can find any brain force around these offices tells you how popular that supplement is. Because let me tell you, you can find just about anything around here. Man, how raw, you have to run a mile just to find this? I got the brain force right here. Marcos Morales, who's got, he's got his own brain force going on. We saw some of that yesterday. We'll just leave it at that. Don't start twerking again, Marco. So here's what I'm going to do before I get my guests on, because the crew is pointing out, in fact, it's been caught on camera today. I've been yawning, and I've been working really hard lately. I don't take any days off. I don't take any vacations. I'm not complaining, but I'm a little tired. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take the turbo force combined with the brain force right now here on air. I'm not going to snort it. I have had people tell me, I am not suggesting this. I have had people tell me they snort the body's turmeric. I'm not suggesting this, folks. I'm just telling you what people tell me. Oh, I like the scent. Okay, so, all right, the Turbo Force powder is now in my InfoWars Hexagon logo cup, and I'm now mixing the minimum of 8 fluid ounces of water to that. Maybe we do a little bit more here. I don't have a spoon, but that's okay. We'll just kind of swish it around here. All right, so I'm taking the brand new Turbo Force from InfoWarsStore.com right now. It's 33% off introductory price, and I'm combining that with the Brain Force Plus from InfoWarsStore.com. Here we go. So I'm going to make sure I try not to yawn the rest of the broadcast. Here we go. Ah. And you're actually just supposed to down this. So I'm going to go ahead and finish this. In fact, let's go ahead and bring MAGA Titan on while I'm finishing up my Turbo Force from InfoWarsStore.com. I'm revigorating myself here on air, mid-broadcast, refueling myself. Let's bring in MAGA Titan. MAGA Titan, as I re-energize myself with Turbo Force from InfoWarsStore.com, get myself some much-needed energy, tell me, what is it like to be threatened to be shot by a radical leftist at the Women's March?
Well, I'll tell you. It just shows you exactly that these people are brainwashed and that we've been right the whole time. It tells you that the media has a double standard when they're worried about some kid's smile. Okay? And we have a story here where this lady is threatening to shoot us, who claims she was some type of Holocaust survivor and we took everything from her.
Oh my gosh. That Turbo Force is good. Woo! Man, that's some good stuff right there. All right.
I need some of that Turbo Force.
Now, this is a brand new product. Now, as you were saying, though, real talk, though, and Enrique was with you, too. So, guys, do we have the video? Let's actually roll the video. Do we have the video ready? All right, well, we'll find the video. But you, this woman, I mean, clearly deranged, mentally unstable, says you need to be shot. So just what happened leading up to that point, and what were people around her saying that witnessed it?
Well, that's the thing. Nothing happened before we got there. We literally just walked by, and we went out to the sidewalk because Mr. Engels, who was assaulted, was out there, and so we decided to join him. And the guy that kissed, you know, you guys forgot to talk about that as well. One of our Proud Boy brothers, old Sarge, was kissed on the mouth, you know, by a dirty fake Antifa communist.
What? You know what? And we need to do this. I'm sorry, because we're scrambling around here. We need to get that video in the break. We need to get the video of him threatening to get shot. So, guys, let's get that video. But Enrique, you were right there when this happened, and you had to step in and make sure that things didn't get amplified there when these leftists started getting violent. Talk about that.
That is true. I had to step in twice. Once when Sarge got kissed in the mouth, and again when Jacob got assaulted by the sidewalk. They gave us the boot out of there for some noise ordinance that has never been enforced, and he got pushed onto the sidewalk. That's when the violent leftist came in and attacked him and assaulted him, slapped a camera out of his hand. And it was just ridiculous. It was ridiculous. I mean, we were there for that purpose, just in case Jacob did get assaulted. And we're hoping not to have to intervene, and we did. And it turned out bad for him. He started crying on the curb.
So what happened, you know, like, you're just sitting there again. You're aware that there could be some potential threats here. You're not trying to cause anything. You wanted to keep the peace. But they start coming up and they start kissing people. They start yelling at you to get shot. They assault Jacob Engels. I mean, what's going through your head in that moment to try to, you know, calm the situation down?
Well, we came in there calm. We came in there knowing, we came in there thinking that there wasn't going to be any confrontation. So, you know, it's a women's march, not a problem. But what ended up happening is all this happened and all they did was cheer this on. The people at the Women's March sat there and they were clapping up a storm when Jacob got assaulted. They were clapping up a storm when a sexual assault happened. The only sexual assault that happened at the Women's March came to us. It wasn't the women. It was the dudes that got sexually assaulted.
This is nuts. This just shows you how inundated in it. My head is spinning. I didn't even make the connection that was right in front of my face. I get sexually assaulted at the Women's March in D.C. The crowd cheers it. Sarge gets sexually assaulted at the Women's March. You guys were in Florida. Was it Florida?
Yes.
And the crowd cheers it. I mean, this is the most unbelievable level of derangement. They're cheering on sexual assault as they claim to be marching against sexual assault. I don't even know how do you properly even analyze this. I mean, like you said, I mean, MAGA Titan, Jason Lowe, I think that this is what you said is what it comes down to. This is mental illness. That's all this is. This is mental illness. There's nothing else to this, folks. We're overanalyzing this. Look at this woman. That is a mentally deranged woman. Okay. All right. I mean, what are we going to do to open up the mental institutions? I'm telling you, the Women's March 2020, the Women's March 2020, you lead them right down the street, and then you march them right into the mental institution. Just right open the doors of the mental institution and march them right in.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the War Room. My guests are MAGA Titan and Enrique Tarrio, who are at the Women's March in Florida. It's just unbelievable.
Just the madness and the insanity of these people. So we're going to go to the clip real quick. There's two clips we're going to get to in this segment. One, we're about to roll where they threaten to shoot them. And then we're working on finding the clip right now of the man walking up and sexually assaulting Sarge, just kissing him on the lips. I mean, just such deranged lunatic behavior. You can't even really analyze it other than just saying these are mentally deranged lunatics. Here is the first mentally deranged lunatic that says that our guests need to be shot.
I'm out here not doing any. You circle back around. This is targeted harassment. This is targeted harassment. This is targeted harassment. You had a gun, you shoot me in the head. Go get a police officer now. Go get a police officer. I'm serious. Go get a police officer. Go get a police officer. Go get a police officer right now. We'll follow until the police arrive.
You just threatened to murder me with a gun. You're going to be held accountable for that. You're going to be held accountable for that. This is the Women's March. You just threatened to shoot me.
Now here's the deal.
Did you got to go harass people like at a Women's March, man?
Go ahead and let me know when you have the other people ready to go. But this is look, none of us like to do this, folks. I mean, look. I mean, I like controversy. I like debate. But I don't want to go out wearing a Trump hat and have some woman come grab my genitals. I don't want to go out and be threatened with physical violence. But this is what we have to do now. And we have to press charges against these people, even though we don't want to. It has to be done. We have to follow these people around with a camera and expose who they are, even though we don't want to do it. This is what we have to do now to stop this madness and this mass hysteria. So let's start with MAGA Titan here. I mean, just again, how do you even deal with these people? I mean, we shouldn't be dealing with these people, but we have to. I mean, is that the answer? We just go out, we film them, we wear our Trump hats, and we let them expose themselves as the deranged lunatics they are?
Well, that's correct. I just go out there and I do my best impression of Owen Schroyer. I go out there and I destroy them. First of all, I want to say the reason why these people think this is because people like Anna Navarro on fake news CNN call our president Hitler. They call him racist. They say white men are the worst thing ever. They're the number one threat, Don Lemon. That's the first thing. Second, you have groups like Antifa that are able to run around, post what they want, and organize. And they're funded by who most of the time? You know who, Soros. I want to say this. 2 days before I went out there, they knew because they're watching the Titans of Liberty show. We had Joey Gibson on, who I know is going to be coming up with Rufio and I. And I said I was going to be at the march. They wrote articles and everything. It says it right here. Boston mobilizes against neo-Nazi group. I'm being called a neo-Nazi. Neo-Nazi group intent on crashing Women's March. Proud Boys claim they're coming to Orlando. Now, all I did was go there to actually report, and I did get some reporting done because they had the Martin Luther King March going on, which was beautiful. A bunch of beautiful black Americans out there, church, they're doing dances, they're promoting their churches out there, beautiful. But then once we got to the Women's March, and we were wearing our Make America Great Again hats, and we had our flags out there. They started yelling at us. The first thing they did was build a wall around us. And right here, this guy came up to me. He goes, how small does your you-know-what have to be at a women's march? And I turned around, and I said, you know, how small does yours have to be to grow those ugly dreads? And right when I said that, him and Sarge got in front of each other. And we thought they were going to fight, but the guy laid us a kiss right on his lips, right in front of the Orlando police.
And that, of course, is assault and sexual assault. And are they going to press charges against that lunatic that walked up to him and open mouth kissed him?
Enrique knows more about that than
We're working on pressing charges on him. You know what's crazy is the person that kissed Sarge in the mouth is the same person that attacked Jacob Engels. So he kissed the guy,
the needles,
he kissed Sarge in the mouth. Yeah, that too. He kissed Sarge right in the mouth in front of the police. Police didn't do nothing. This guy circled around, went to where Jacob was. In that clip that you played where she said that she was going to shoot us, right, where she said she was going to shoot Jacob because she again said she was going to shoot all of us a little while later, you see a glimpse of him at the end of the video get in Jacob's face. So Orlando police saw the sexual assault in their face, didn't do anything about it. He circled around and assaulted Jacob right after. So this guy is already a known problem. Police didn't trespass him. We got trespassed for, Jacob got trespassed for noise ordinance, but sexual assault, noise ordinance is above sexual assault. I don't get that. That's him right there. That's the guy that was crying on the curb.
Well, and let's actually be clear about this, because this is a good point that we don't talk about enough. These people are a threat to society, period. They're going around threatening to kill people. They're going around sexually assaulting people. I remember the Women's March last year, the same guy, this is unbelievable, the same guy comes up to me and my crew, spits at us and on us multiple times, throws punches at me twice, is shouting and foaming at the mouth like a rabid lunatic. And we're like, cops, this guy's a threat to society. If you don't arrest him now, he's going to do this again. Sure enough, what happens? He ends up assaulting more people later on. He ends up coming after us again later on. This is not us wanting to do some political thing saying, oh, arrest my political dissidents. Look at them. They're crazy. These people are a threat to society. And that's exactly it. You just proved it, Enrique. He already had assaulted Sarge once by sexually assaulting him, walking up and open mouth kissing him. And then he's continuing to be empowered by the lack of discipline by the police. And so now he's going around getting in people's faces and he's got hypodermic needles on him. For what reason? We don't even know. I mean,
he couldn't explain it himself.
It's just unbelievable to me.
It's sick. Let me tell you, I was called a redneck. I was called a cracker. I was called a spick. I was called a fake Hispanic. I was called a Nazi. Every name in the book. And it's so funny because I'm out there trying to speak Spanish to people that were out there that were Hispanic, that didn't talk great English. I was giving great interviews. And, you know, there were some good people out there that were tired of it. And like I said, the first thing they did was build a wall around us. But these people are so mentally ill. We asked them who Linda Sarsour was. Nobody knew who Linda Sarsour was. We asked them about Sharia law. Nobody knew. I even questioned a speaker. And she said, oh, I'm for speaking against human trafficking. I said, oh, you must be for the wall. She goes, no, I didn't really say that. I said, well, you know, the wall is going to stop human trafficking. I got her to admit it. She said, true, it would. Then I said, well, if it stopped one life from being trafficked, would you do it? No, I have to think about it. I like to write stuff down. She couldn't answer a question about saving one life. If we built the wall, save one life.
That's the power of the mainstream media. Think about it. They are out there because they want to stop sexual assault because the media says that Trump sexually assaults women. But when you point out, hey, by the way, at least 60% of the women crossing the border on the southern side of the country illegally are getting raped. They come with birth control and other stuff because they are getting raped. Do you want to try to stop that? Well, that, you know, I don't believe that. You're just fake news. It's like, I mean, it's just amazing the ignorance of these people, but these stooges go out and march every year. So thank you so much, Enrique Tarrio. Folks, visit his website, 1776.shop. Thank you, Enrique, for joining us at Honored Chair on Twitter and MAGA Titan. You can follow him on Facebook. He does a lot of great videos, a lot of great live streams at Titans of Liberty on Facebook. We thank them for coming on with us and give us an update, guys, on what happens with pressing charges against the guy that open-mouth kissed Sarge and had the open needles. We need to follow up on that.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
What are you gonna say you did when we look back on these epic times of American history? And you read in the history books about taking America back, the Second American Revolution, the worldwide Great Awakening, the worldwide Renaissance. Man, I mean, I just look at all of this and it's just like, there is nothing else that delivers. There is nothing else that delivers like fighting for America and fighting for freedom right now. And it's just, it's epic on so many different levels. Like this Covington Catholic thing continues to get crazier and crazier as radical leftists descend upon the town in Kentucky. The bishop goes against the archdiocese or the school. And now the school says, okay, well, we're not going to have you as part of our confirmation unless you apologize. So that's going out of control now.
Venezuela is trying to shake socialism right now. I mean, wow. Millions of people are marching in the street right now in Venezuela, folks. They're celebrating that America, the United States, Donald Trump has helped oust their socialist dictate. I mean, and it just goes on and on. And then we've been covering just the violence and the hatred and the disgust of these women's march protesters. And that's really just one angle. Now, Joey Gibson joins me now. And Joey, I know that you want to talk about an event that's coming up, but before we get into that specifically, I mean, I cover this every once in a while, but I don't give it near enough due justice, and it's almost impossible to really. I mean, I'm just trying to cover everything around here, but what is going on right now in the Northwest where you have mayors and politicians trying to take your guns, you have people assaulting conservatives in the streets, stalking them, doxing them, ruining their lives, following them around, attacking their personal homes, trying to ruin their weddings. It's happening on a regular basis up there, and it's not making national news. Nobody's talking about it. And I feel bad because you and other people in the Northwest reach out to me like every day, like, Owen, please highlight this. Please cover this. And I mean, I try to do it as much as possible, but just give my audience an idea of how bad it's getting right now in the Northwest.
Yeah, so right now what's going on, and here, I want to make this very clear, it's been going on for a while. It's just there hasn't been this surge of people who said we've had enough, we're just going to keep fighting, we're going to keep doing what we believe in, we're going to keep pushing back and keep highlighting it. Traditionally in the past, people would do things to try to avoid Antifa, but now we have a decent amount of groups all up and down the West Coast that challenges what they do. And so, yeah, that means people are going to get assaulted. That means people are going to go after your jobs. And we've seen that a lot. Billy Wilson is a guy who simply had a truck with American flags on it. They attack him and he tries to get out of there and they ruined his life. I mean, they went after his house several times. They showed up to his house. They slashed his tires. They would protest out in front of his car, his truck. They protest out from his work. And these are things that have been going on for a while, but now we're starting to highlight it and we're starting to push back. We have people who show up to socialist meetings. We have conservatives in Portland who show up to a socialist meeting to try to build bridges because everyone wants to get rid of Ted Wheeler. And Antifa shows up, 30 of them, and they just mob on five people, put two people in the hospital. And so we don't get enough people speaking out against this. I don't care if you're left or right or who you may be. We all have to be against political violence. Like, we all have to come together and just have our debates, have our arguments. You know, it's kind of like what you do when you go out on the streets. You go out there and you simply are like asking questions, you know, and you just want answers. And it's interesting to see the difference of behavior between those, you know, who believe in freedom and those who really want a bigger government.
Well, and you just brought up like three different stories that are huge stories, but they just kind of come and go. And I don't even have the time to cover it. Most people don't even mention it. But yeah, you had multiple people. I mean, I was asking you one story yesterday. I was like, hey, do you have footage of your friend getting, you know, jumped the other day? And you're like, which friend, which time? I mean, it's happening. It's unbelievable. And I'm like, shoot. I mean, this is what's going on here too, where you and others have, as you said, tried to build a bridge. You've tried to approach these socialists, these Antifa guys, like, look, let's stop the fighting. We've had our disagreements. We need to, you know, let's try to throw a wet blanket on this before it gets out of hand. They're not interested. They don't want to build a bridge with you. They want to destroy you. They have nothing else to do. So what has happened when you've gone and you've reached out to some of these groups and you've tried to build a bridge? You've tried to say, let's not be hateful enemies. We can disagree, but let's at least not want to, you know, kill each other, which is where they approach it from. And what has happened when you've tried to build these bridges?
It depends on who it is. So here's the way it is, all right? If you can talk to someone in private, so no one knows you guys are talking, you can actually build some bridges with some socialists and some other people. But if anyone finds out that you're talking, they're going to get scared and they're going to run because they don't want Antifa to beat them up. Antifa will beat up their own, like, in a heartbeat, okay? And they'll do some bad things to you. That's why they eat each other. It's like Antifa attacked a Bernie supporter who came to protest us because he had an American flag. So they knocked him out cold. So they'll eat each other. But now we've had it from now on, and we're asking everyone to do this all over the nation. We're doing a demasking campaign. Every single person you see with a mask, right? You go up to them, you get their mask off. Most of the time they'll take it off if you surround them. Have them take their masks off, take their pictures. We're not going to put up with it anymore. It's turning into a competition. I think it's going to go viral.
And you'll see a couple faces being posted tomorrow night, that's for sure. But we'll start in Portland. We're going to hit Portland. Anyone with a mask, boom. We had a group of guys that showed up to a pro-life march to harass a bunch of elderly people, you know, a lot of Catholics and stuff. And we weren't going to have it. Like, we're not going to allow them to be bullies anymore. We're going to show up. We're going to make sure we figure out who you are. We're going to dox you. We're going to put your information out there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you guys up there in the Northwest are almost kind of in your own little bubble. No national media wants to talk about you guys. You guys are boots on the ground almost daily battling with these radical communists and socialists that you have out there. You get no help from the government. You get no help from the police. The violence gets worse. And so you guys have basically decided, look, we're going to take things into our own hands. We're going to try to get media to cover this. You pretty much get nothing. I mean, I do my best to cover it, but I don't even really, I mean, I barely touch on this stuff, honestly, folks. I mean, that's why we get Joey on, and he's got like five different instances that we need to cover here in a short amount of time. So what is, I mean, you got the demasking campaign. I know that you're trying to get Ted Wheeler out of office. What about, I mean, are you guys trying to push any police action on these people? I mean, it's getting out of hand. We were at the event in Portland, and it was like for the first time in months, the police did their job and they scuttled the violent Antifa. And we thought maybe things are finally going in the right direction. But since then, it seems like it's just gone back the other way.
It's hard to say. We did have an event after that. It was Haley Adams, Him Too event. And the police actually did a halfway decent job. There's a couple of people who started being violent and the police came in and took them out and arrested them. Now, you know, what the DA is going to do, I don't know. So we'll keep challenging and we'll see what happens. And that's the main thing is we just have to keep putting the pressure on the city of Portland. But one thing that I'm really focusing on right now, as you guys know, is I'm really going around county to county, Oregon and Washington, and really push for a constitutional ordinance, because right now they're doing things that are absolutely ridiculous. They're disrespecting the Constitution. There's no due process anymore in the state of Washington with your gun rights. They can take your guns in a heartbeat. So we're going to be pushing back on that, and we're going to make it illegal for sheriffs or police chiefs at a local level to participate in these unconstitutional laws. And we're actually going to push for in Multnomah County, which is, you know, Portland's in Multnomah County, so that should be fun. We'll see what happens with that.
Well, I'm just stunned because it's like every time I turn around and, you know, it's either you or Haley or somebody sending me a news story that, you know, I want to cover it, I just don't have the time, but it's every time I turn around, there's some new radical leftist in Portland or up there in the Northeast, you know, bashing someone's head in, 30 of them jumping, a minority Trump supporter, the governors, mayors confiscating guns, empowering Portland Antifa, the police doing nothing. I mean, it's just like, it's totally insane what's going on out there. So I'm just stunned, really. I mean, because, you know, California gets a lot of the coverage with the nonsense that goes on there, but like, you guys in the Northwest are dealing with it just as much, if not worse, and it really gets no cover. So we're going to continue to talk about that with Joey Gibson. And, you know, I'll propose where I'm at right now intellectually as we move forward to 2020 and supporting President Trump. And we'll see where Joey Gibson falls on that, too. Don't go anywhere. This is The War Room, Infowars.com/show. In this short break, go to Infowarsstore.com and support this censored news broadcast. We'll be right back.
War Room. Infowars.com/show.
You know, I was gonna give the stage to Joey here. Joey Gibson, GibsonForFreedom.com, fighting for freedom in the Northwest, where it's desperately needed, folks. It's dire straits in the Northwest. I mean, my goodness. But I realized something, that there's a story that's huge that happened here, and I haven't even covered it yet. So I'm going to actually give this to Joey, and then he's going to comment on that, and then he's got to bounce. But Joey, you had Democrats in New York pass abortion, I believe, up to 9 months. So you can basically just kill your baby now. I mean, it's a full baby. It's got a beating heart, a brain. It can think, it can hear, it can feel. They just murder it. Just, you know, that's fine. But you know what's sick? They cheered it. They stood and they cheered it. And now the One World Center in New York has lit the top of their building pink in celebration of this law passing. Joey,
You know, we can talk about the political strife and everything going on right now, but, you know, it really just humbles you and you realize if we're not going to fight for innocent children being murdered, if we're going to celebrate the murder of innocent children, then you know what? Everything else falls behind that. If we're such a disgusting and sick society that we're celebrating murdering children in the womb up to 9 months, I mean, Joey, doesn't that just, I mean, it's just like everything else should fall behind that. And we should look in the mirror and say, you know what? Look, politically, if you're going to sit here and argue for abortion, fine, that's one thing. But to celebrate it, to shove it down our throats and to celebrate it on the eve of the judge ruling that the Planned Parenthood undercover tapes were not doctored, but these people are selling unborn baby parts illegally, engaging in this, and we celebrate abortion. I'm sick over this, Joey. So what is your response to this? As a Christian, as a conservative, not just that we have abortions, but that we're celebrating. I mean, we're cheering it on. We're celebrating it on the top of buildings, making the buildings pink. Oh, it's beautiful. We're killing our children up to nine months in the womb. I mean, this is sick, Joey.
Yeah, it is. And it gives me the chills. It's another one of those spiritual things that we're going through in this country right now. And if we don't fight, if we find this acceptable as a country, we don't deserve this country anymore. Like, we don't deserve to even exist. If we can be such savages that we're going to run around and kill babies, you know, and the whole argument that I always get, and I argue with people all the time about pro-life, pro-choice, whatever. Anyone who's truly pro-choice, I always ask them, you know, are you okay with killing a baby 9 months in the womb? And 99.9% of them won't answer that question because in reality, they don't want to kill a nine-month baby that's in the womb because they know there's no difference between that baby inside the womb and the baby that's outside like a day later, right? There's no difference. And so when I ask them, you know, what about 8 months, 7 months, they don't really have an answer. But the fact that this actually happened on our soil, these are real humans. I want people to understand this. These are real humans, and it is about killing innocence, not just killing it, but putting it through a painful death. That's exactly what it is. And it's a spiritual thing. And if we don't fight back, if we don't make some noise, you know, shoot, I'm going to New York. That's it. We're going to get a rally together. We're going to go out there some noise because it's absolutely disgusting.
No, you're right. That's the answer. But again, it's the same thing that you say. It's like, you know, okay. Yeah. You can sit here and you can have the debate about abortion and all of this crap. But it's not like they don't pass this stuff, you know, in the dark of night. They don't conceal this stuff. They brag about it. They cheer it on. They celebrate it. I mean, again, it's like it's one level of sick, deranged psychology to say, yeah, we want to abort children. We celebrate abortion. That's self-love. And then it's another one to stand and cheer and to put pink on a building to say, yes, we did it. We can murder babies up to 9 months now. I mean, yeah, that's it. We should, millions of Americans should be going to New York protesting this. Innocent children being murdered.
It's crazy. And what is it that, why do you have to kill a baby at 9 months? Like, for what cause? You know, they talk about women's rights and stuff, but why do you have to wait 9 months to kill the baby? There's no reason for it. It makes absolutely no sense to me.
Well, see,
and what about the rights of the women in the womb? Like, these are female babies you're killing too, you know?
But see, you're getting to the gross stuff now, Joey, and the reason why they want the babies up to 9 months is because they want those fully formed organs 9 months, baby. They can get those fetal cells and all that cells from that. They can harvest the organs from that nine-month-old baby a lot easier than they can from that three-month-old baby. So, heck yeah, that's why they're celebrating it. You know it. That's Let's harvest those babies' organs. Let's murder those babies. Let's harvest their organs. That's what we do at Planned Parenthood, and we're getting $500 million a year from your taxpayer dollars to do it. Yeah! And it doesn't matter that the judge just ruled that the Planned Parenthood tape was not doctored and they are engaging in illegal behavior. We still give them billions of dollars in taxpayer funding, and now we let them abort babies up to 9 months. All right, Joey, I know you got to go. Final words before you go.
Okay, final words. This is very important. I want everyone to think about this thing that's happening in New York, okay? And I'm not calling for violence. I don't want violence. I don't think that's the answer. But this is a declaration of war. Like, the fact that they're going to make this legal to kill these innocent babies, right, in a very painful death. Take their organs, sell them. It's desecrating life, innocent life. If this doesn't wake you up as a Christian or just a good person, whoever you may be, okay, I don't know what will ever wake you up. We are at a fight for the soul of this country, and this is a perfect example. And you need to figure out what your calling is, what you need to do, how you can participate, and get up off your ass and get out there and do what you're meant to do.
Amen to that, Joey Gibson. Thank you so much for joining us. Keep us updated on the situation up there in the Northwest. And folks, I don't know if it's the turbo force that has my heart racing right now or the fact that I'm just facing the fact that they're celebrating aborting babies 9 months into the pregnancy. Oh. But let me tell you, this is a fight that I have been fighting before I was politically inclined and I was going to pro-life marches in high school. This is a fight I continue to fight to this day. This is a fight I brought to the city council in Austin. This is a fight that I've brought to the Planned Parenthood in Austin multiple times. I'm organizing another Planned Parenthood protest for this year that's going to be even bigger. But, I mean, the fact that they can celebrate this. Again, it's one thing to pass this legislation and just kind of let it, you know, slink into the shadows and not really cover it. They're celebrating it. And if you don't think for 1 second that Planned Parenthood is going to be selling those aborted baby parts, those 9-month babies that they're murdering, they're going to be selling every bit of that baby to the black market. They're going to be selling their and harvesting their organs, their stem cells, everything. You want to not sleep at night, ladies and gentlemen? You want to think about the fact that there's thousands of children missing in this country? Thousands of children that get trafficked illegally across the border? Children. We're talking about children. Folks, they're torturing those kids in cages. You know, it's a level that we don't like to go to, folks. But you have to ask yourself, why do the Democrats want 9-month legal abortion so they can sell their baby parts? Why do the Democrats want a wide open border without a wall so they can literally bring children across the border and put them in cages for sexual torture, for rape, and for human sacrifice? So, I mean, we can sit here and do the political stuff all day long. But if we're murdering kids, torturing children, putting aborted fetal cells into vaccines, using aborted tissue for flavoring in soda, you know, we're never going to get over anything. Celebrating abortion, celebrating murder of an innocent life. That's a heartbeat. Planned Parenthood. And again, you have the left that sits here and virtue signals for children all day long until it's an actual infant. So, congratulations to New York. You have just legalized infanticide. But you know what? It wasn't enough for you just to legalize infanticide. You wanted to celebrate it too. So you did. You celebrated, you stood, you cheered, and then you put a pink light at the top of the One World Center to celebrate that you engage in infanticide, and you just made it legal. And now we know that Planned Parenthood sells aborted baby body parts on the black market. And the judge that reviewed the tape said this is not doctored tape. This is sick, man. This puts the whole Covington Catholic false narrative that the media run to destroy those kids' lives to shame. We're aborting millions of babies, and now in New York they celebrate that they kill a 9-month-old baby.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
It's very fortuitous. Your timing comes right in the middle of this big hubbub about this Native American elder and this young boy with one of those stupid fucking red hats on.
Now to the outrage over a video showing an encounter between teenagers and a Native American veteran near the Lincoln Memorial.
Outrage is growing this afternoon over students who mocked a Native American Vietnam veteran.
A video that is causing outrage for so many.
A Kentucky Catholic high school is facing backlash after footage of students mocking a Native American elder appeared online.
The videos have drawn outrage from all corners.
Here's the video sparking outrage on social media.
A group of teenagers, many wearing Make America Great Again hats, were caught on video taunting a Native American Vietnam veteran.
We are hearing from a Native American elder and Vietnam War veteran speaking to CNN after a disturbing viral video shows a group of teens harassing and mocking him in the nation's capital.
A disturbing viral video shows a mob of teens in Make America Great Again hats harassing a Native American elder in Washington.
Then Phillips describes the tense moments now being replayed over and over again online when a young man got right in his face. Watch. Nathan Phillips was beating his drum and singing an American Indian protest song.
When I was there and I was standing there and I seen that group of people in front of me and I seen the angry faces and all of that, I realized I had put myself in a really dangerous situation.
One young man is captured in a tense moment, now being replayed online, getting right in his face and mocking his singing and drumming on the day of the Indigenous People's March.
A moment from the march has gone viral, an interaction between Native marchers and a group of high school students.
Videos of the encounter shared widely on social media. Swift backlash against the behavior of those Kentucky teens.
You see a lot of red in this. You see a lot of the MAGA hats.
The smile on his face shows how little respect he had for what he was witnessing.
Clearly, these boys are not getting a good education because it makes little sense to angrily chant "build the wall" to a population with literally zero illegal immigrants who were here long before we were.
Hollywood film producer Jack Morrissey tweeted that he wanted the boys killed.
MAGA kids go screaming hat first into the wood chipper.
I know this will come as a huge shock to all of you. This entire exchange was completely misrepresented in the media.
Leftist media, of course, claimed that these students were harassing this Native American Indian. Turns out it was exactly the opposite.
Here's what the mainstream media refused to tell you happened before the exchange.
Look at all these dusty-ass crackers with that racist garbage on. Look at these dirty-ass crackers.
Ain't gonna be no peace until blood is shed.
I get a little angry looking at this guy who's gone on CNN, everywhere else, and what a big victim he is when he's with a group screaming, "We're gonna kill you!"
So the media ran a completely fake news story, which resulted in children being threatened with murder.
Today, the Catholic school at the center of that viral confrontation on Capitol Hill forced to close. Students now facing death threats, being smeared as racist over video of a clash with a Native American protester at the March for Life.
People are calling now for the students to be killed, their school to be burned down, then to be shot. Twitter's leaving it up. Agrees with it.
I heard them saying, "Build that wall, build that wall."
It makes little sense to angrily chant, "Build the wall."
None of that is true. We went through the entire video and did not hear a single student chanting, "Build that wall."
There is no evidence at all that anybody said, "Build a wall."
This is the anatomy of how the left always are professional victims.
The left-wing media is actually intending to incite violence, intending to incite a civil war, and is functioning, frankly, as enemy combatants in a civil war that they have already started.
And this is exactly how the propaganda works to brainwash its very minions.
This story is about the people in power protecting their power and justifying their power by destroying and mocking those who are weaker than they are.
Let's be honest, the witch hunt against this poor kid was driven almost exclusively by the fact that he represents everything leftists despise. White, straight, male, pro-life, Catholic, pro-Trump.
This is the environment we live in today, where leftist hacks engage in these guerrilla tactics.
And it reminds me, covering this stuff, this is exactly why I'm here today. Not even because of politics, quite frankly, but because of the fake news.
Why did you go back to Europe when you came? This is not your land.
We'll be right back.
I have to tell you, folks, my blood is boiling right now. And I'm doing everything I can to try to remain calm with my guest, Tommy Sotomayor, coming on. A guy I admire who I've been following on YouTube for a while. And it's interesting how the universe works. I was covering a video of him in a Hooters and a MAGA hat yesterday. He was covering a video of me getting sexually harassed yesterday. I've been actually trying to reach out to him. And then by way of providence, we end up connecting and he's going to be on air with me here right now. But I'm trying to maintain my cool here, Tommy, because in the last 15 minutes, I've had to cover how the left is celebrating 9-month abortions. So they're aborting babies up to 9 months now. Not just something, okay, they're saying you can do politically. They're celebrating it. They're just, this is a heroic act by the Democrats. You can now abort your baby up to 9 months. I mean, and then reliving just the attack on the Covington Catholic school boys, just total fake news. And the mainstream media just doubles and triples down. So my blood is just boiling covering all this stuff. And I'm trying to maintain myself and remain cool. But I mean, Tommy Sotomayor joins me, TommySotomayor.com. You can follow him on Twitter at TJSotomayorOC. Tommy, I mean, just how do you analyze this stuff before we get into your video at Hooters and your response to the video you covered of me getting sexually harassed? I mean, how do you measure this stuff where they celebrate 9-month abortions, they run media hoaxes against children, they call for their deaths? I mean, every red-blooded American that has any conscience left should be so enraged by this, should be just outraged that this goes on in our country. I mean, where is America, Tommy? Where are people standing up for innocent children?
Well, it's innocent children, and it's a fight against masculinity, to be perfectly honest. Because remember, those boys, the Catholic high school, those are boys that were being attacked. So it's okay for the liberal left to go out and say, those boys need to be murdered. There needs to be a bullet in those MAGA hats. It's okay for them to take 3 minutes of a one-hour clip and decide to make these kids out to be enemies because they're boys. And then children, well, as long as you can allow feminists the ability to be able to say it's our body and regardless of what comes out of it or what is in living inside of it, well, it's our job to be able to allow those women to do whatever they want to with it, i.e. kill the kid, i.e. drop it off at a gas station. If you think about it, women have it amazingly easy in America today. You can accuse a man of rape, find out he didn't do anything after you've ruined his life, or he's been to jail for it, and nothing happens to you. It's an amazing thing that you can say you cannot force a woman to be a mother, but you can force a man to be a father. You cannot jail a woman for having children she can't afford to take care of, but you can jail a man for having children he can't afford to take care of. This is the era in which the United States is pushing right now, and that's what the liberals are doing. The liberals are saying, let's do away with what's common sense and what makes sense, Owen.
Well, and let's take what happened to the Covington Catholic boys with the fake news media hoax and then all the media calling for them, you know, to die. And let's apply that same tactic that they use to what happened to you at the Hooters. So you're at a Hooters. You're wearing a MAGA hat. I think it looked like you were there with a large group of people. I don't know if those were your friends or if you were with them or if you were just there separately. And they asked you to take your hat off. And you're like, well, wait a second. I'm wearing a hat. If this hat was a Baltimore Orioles cap or a New York Yankees cap or, you know, a Chicago Blackhawks hat or something, would they be asking me to take it off then? Oh, but no, because it's a Trump hat, you have to take it off. Well, why? Because the media lies about Trump supporters. The media lies about Trump. They say a Trump hat is the equivalent of a KKK hood. And so then what happens? You go out wearing a Trump hat and they say, oh, sir, you have to take that off. Well, wait a second. That's a false narrative. Trump supporters aren't racist. Donald Trump's not a racist. So it's the same thing. They lie about Trump. They create a narrative. And then you become the target of the fake news. And they say, sorry, sir, you don't have free speech. You can't wear that hat here.
Oh, let me clear it up for you. It wasn't take the hat off. It was I'm not going to serve you. The young lady was coming over to give me a drink because the people who I was with, I was doing a show there. I'm on a tour right now. It's called the Anti-PC Tour, and you can get the tickets on my website, wherever city I'm coming. It's like a lecture and a comedy tour at the same time. Well, it was a sold out show. And usually after my shows, what I do is I allow a certain amount of the fans to come with me, and we go out to the local bar And it's kind of like my way of trying to help the economy in whatever local area that I'm in. So we all go out and we patronize that local bar in Atlanta, which is where I'm from. I love going to Hooters. That's my thing. I like the wings and the crab legs. No problem. Didn't think it would be any big deal. I go in, the guy says, hey, I want to buy you a drink. I've been a fan of yours for years. He calls the Hooters waitress over. He says, hey, I would like to get my friend a drink. She looks at me and she says, what's up with the hat? I said, what do you mean? She said, do you support Trump? I said, I voted for him. Why you ask? She turned her back and walked off. I thought it was some kind of joke or game because I'm a playful kind of guy. I thought it was going to be she's going to come back and we're going to have a little discussion about it while I get my drink. Well, she never came back and she was not going to serve me and then let her manager know why she wasn't going to serve me. So this is a strange thing. Imagine if someone wasn't going to serve somebody because they were wearing an Obama hat, because they had an Obama shirt on. It would be outrage and outcry all over the United States. MSNBC would be all over it. CNN would be all over it. But even though my video went viral, and I didn't even put it up for it to go viral, because this isn't the first time it's happened to me. It went viral, and I didn't even know it had gone viral. With all the views that I've gotten, the manager from that Hooters has not called me. As a matter of fact, the manager from the Hooters here where I live at in Arizona, he called me and said I can come get drinks and food on them. But that Hooters guy has not called, said anything, didn't do anything that night, didn't comp me a drink. I never got the drink. It was literally, that was it. And that's one of the strangest things about it. And none of the major news networks have picked up on it. And even when the Daily Mail picked up on it, I'm not sure if you saw it, they proceeded to slander me, say that I was a racist, say that I hate blacks. I hate it. It had nothing to do with the story. And they asked me for permission to put my video up. It was funny. They sent me an email and I said, sure. I said, as long as you talk to me and put all my information up. Well, they didn't do that. They said that there's a petition out against me. And it's one of the ugliest things to sit there and read. So it was a complete attack against me, not against the company who decided to not serve me.
And let's actually go one step further. If you were wearing an Obama hat, or let's not even say you had anything political on. Let's say you're just at Hooters and they don't serve you a drink. What would the narrative be? Racist Hooters won't yep. serve a black man. But as soon as a black man's a conservative, you're no longer a black man. You're a racist.
Yep. I don't get that protection anymore. It's like with Alyssa Milano's talking about the hat being the replacement for the hood. Well, if it's a replacement for the hood, what about all of the black people who are wearing it? I don't understand it. But just to make these inappropriate equivocations is what the liberal does. The liberal left does. What they will do is try to use words to make you just feel like, well, if my opinion is different, I'm going to be called a racist. I don't want to be called a homophobe. I don't want to be called anti-Semitic. I don't want to be called any of these names. So they shut down actual constructive conversation by name calling. And me as a black man could have not been served with no hat on. I could have not had any clothes on and probably said, still, they didn't serve me because I'm black. And the liberal left would have picked it up naked. Naked black man gets racist treatment. Like it would be.
Yeah, but, just like with the Starbucks thing. Like you could have walked in there naked and been like, oh, I'm thirsty. You know, give me a drink. Let me use your bathroom. And if they said no, you know, it would have been a big national story. We're about to take a break, though. And I want to kind of get into just you in general, in case my audience isn't familiar with you. I started following you a couple years ago. You were still in front of your fireplace and you were mostly kind of doing videos about the gender wars and the attack on men. So in the next segment, I kind of want to get into your transformation because you didn't really necessarily get political when Trump won. You weren't necessarily like a big Trump guy when Trump won. It just kind of ended up being that the Trump movement kind of went along with the stuff that you were already covering on your YouTube channel. So I want to kind of talk about that in the next segment. And just again, I didn't realize that this has happened to you multiple times. I'm not surprised. You go out, you wear a Trump hat. They don't serve you at Hooters. They don't give you any respect, a place that you patronize. You give a lot of money. I mean, you support their business. And then they throw you under the bus for your political opinion. What happened to this country when we used to put politics aside and we were all capitalists and we were all Americans first? No, we don't do that anymore because the mainstream media lies about Donald Trump and lies about his supporters. So TJ Sotomayor is my guest. We'll be right back with him on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
guest is Tommy Sotomayor. You can follow him on Twitter at TJ Sotomayor, KOC. His website, TommySotomayor.com. He's been doing YouTube videos for a long time on his YouTube channel. A lot of good stuff there. And he recently had a viral video where he's at a Hooters restaurant that he frequently patronizes in Atlanta. And they decided they wouldn't serve him for a MAGA hat. And he still hasn't gotten that drink, as far as I'm concerned. So they still owe him a drink as well. But, Tommy, you said this is not the first time that this has happened to you. So is it in Atlanta this is happening? Is it when you go on tour and you wear your hat? So what are some other stories where you're wearing your MAGA hat and people discriminate against you?
I don't know what kind of language I can use, but I will try to clean this up a little bit. As I got off the plane with my daughter, my daughter was 12 at the time. I had on the hat and we're deplaning and we're in Atlanta and a few of the Delta employees were going to, you know, when they come and they'll pick up the elderly or whatever, they'll come. Well, they were all black and they saw me and my daughter or my daughter and I walk out. And as we were walking by, they couldn't even hold their breath or hold their tone low enough in front of my child. And they said, "What's wrong with this nigga? This nigga think he white." Very loud in front of everyone as we walked off.
Wait, these are Delta employees?
Yes, sir.
Did you file a complaint?
I looked at my daughter and I told my daughter, this is the problem that we have as blacks, that we emotionally lash out about simple things. So I was trying to make it a teaching moment for my daughter. A lot of times I don't even make a big argument. Like even with this Hooters things, I didn't even make an argument about it. I made my video. I didn't go to corporate. I didn't ask them for anything. As a matter of fact, Hooters, the Twitter reached out and followed me and said that they were sorry for the service, and that was it. But at least they said something, but I didn't even ask them. I didn't reach out to them. They reached out to me. I tried not to make a big deal about it, but I guess I should have. But it was just horrible, and I hate to say it. In Atlanta, when it comes to usually black females, you get so used to getting bad service and them voicing their opinion that it becomes almost second nature or old hat. And I didn't want to do anything in front of my kid. I just wanted my kid to get out of there. Cause at that point I thought if someone's willing to say something like that, someone may be willing to do something violent as well. So let me just get my kid out of the midst of this.
And I think that this is something we kind of face as conservatives just because it's our approach to things in general. We don't like to complain. You know, we don't like to cry victim. We don't like to file complaints. We just go on with our life. We don't let these people slow us down. But it's reached a point where I'm having to do this too, and I think other conservatives are realizing this. This is why I've pressed charges against the woman that walked up to me and grabbed my
good man,
you know what, right in front of everybody. So I officially pressed charges, and she probably is going to go down in the books as a sexual assaultant. And when you have the app on your phone that labels all the sexual assaultants in your neighborhood, her face will pop up, and that's what she wants, and that's what she'll get. So I think it's now time. I think it's now time, Tommy, that we just have to start doing this stuff. I mean, we don't want to do it. It's like pulling teeth. It's not who we are. But I'd say, like, the next time you go out and some Delta employee wants to have a racial slur against you for your politics, you say, you know what? Let me get your name. Let me get your ID from Delta. I'm going to go ahead and file a complaint against you for using a racial slur against me in public. And you should get them fired. So this is what I think we have to do now.
Mm-hmm. And I'm with you about that, because the less we speak, I think the more they've come at us. And that's why they are so organized, because they complain about anything. But when they do something to us, we say, well, you know, I'll speak to the individual, but then I'll go on with my day. They make it to where you need to be fired. They make it to where you need to be assaulted. They make it to where you need to be jailed. So I guess maybe the squeaky wheel gets to greasing. So we need to start having some of those conservative squeaky wheels.
Well, and just so people get, in case you don't know Tommy Sotomayor or his YouTube channel, you originally gotten started, at least from my view, from watching your channel years ago, kind of getting in the gender wars, the attacks on men, mm-hmm. how men need to stand up for themselves, and just in general, you kind of saw that as an issue. And so you are kind of ahead of the times with the attack on masculinity. So you're actually kind of in the same boat as InfoWars. You're like, you know, next year's news today. You were targeting the attack on men a long time ago. So just talk about how you as an individual and your coverage and your content over on your YouTube channel has kind of changed and evolved over the years.
Well, I wanted to make sure that men had a voice because to me, men never really had a voice. We had to listen to everyone else's voice, but we couldn't talk about our grievances. We couldn't talk about our hurts. We couldn't talk about our pain. When you look at something as simple as when a child dies at the hands of a mother, what do they say? They say, well, what caused her to do this? When a mother kills her husband or anybody else, they ask, what made her go to that point? Then I noticed in sentencing, man kills someone, man does whatever it is to someone, the sentencing was almost double that of a woman. So why aren't we talking about this in an era in which women are saying they want equality? And why is it that feminists don't call out when a woman and a man are in the same position to do the same thing, she gets half the time, there has to be a problem. So I started calling this out. And as far as the getting into politics, I've always been into politics. I've always tried to tell blacks to get off of the Democratic plantation to actually vote what your city, your home, your family, those things that affect you. Look at the actual policies of the politicians. Don't look at the fact that they have a D or an R in front of them. And when it came down to Donald Trump, I actually like to say that I'm one of the people who helped Donald Trump get elected because I'm one of the people who made it cool for black folks to vote for Donald Trump. I was on Donald Trump's bandwagon back when he was running against the other Republicans before it even got to the general election.
Well, and this is something that kind of frustrates me about Trump now as he goes on Fox News and all this stuff. I understand they have the big audience, but it was InfoWars that got him elected. It was Tommy Sotomayor that got him elected. It was Michael Savage that got him elected. And he's kind of abandoned us to this point. And we go along with it. We keep fighting the battle. We know the role we're in here is kind of the dark knight. But, you know, it's amazing, too, because they have this whole thing where they run with this false narrative like, oh, yeah, if you're black, you can't like Trump. As far as I'm concerned, that's not the truth at all. If anything, it's just like you would expect with any political opinion. It's probably just 50-50. Some black people like Trump, some don't. They just have their own political opinions. But what's coming up on your YouTube channel? I know the Super Bowl is about to come to Atlanta. Are you going to be doing anything surrounding that? Or what can people expect from your YouTube channel in the next month or so?
I'll be performing live in Atlanta during the Super Bowl at Uptown Comedy. You guys can get your tickets on TommySotomayor.com. Like I said, I'll also be 33 cities around the world. You can buy your tickets to all of that. What's coming up is there's a, I don't know if you saw it, Oklahoma University. Guy walks around in blackface. It's made the news. It's a horrible thing. And a friend of mine saw the video and said, you know that guy's wearing one of your shirts. So I was like, I can't rest this week. I'm not getting any. I don't know what this is. Is this an attack against me or what? But I'm looking at the guy and it says Tommy Sotomayor's anti-PC tour. And he's in blackface. I'm like, oh, no. I don't want to make about the news like this.
That's about as anti-PC as you can get.
Right. I was like, I don't want to make the news like this.
So follow his YouTube channel. Always good stuff there. But Tommy, you're a big wrestling guy. There's the new age right there. Give me a Ric Flair woo before you go.
Woo!
All right. There goes Tommy Sotomayor. Great guest. I hope that we can have him as a regular guest. Just his YouTube channel is so entertaining, but great content as well. All right. There goes Tommy Sotomayor. I think I may open up the phone lines for the last two segments. Just try to squeeze some calls in. Yeah, I think I'll do that.
Infowars.com/show.
Time is of the essence. I'm talking through the liner. We've got brand new news developing right now. We have world-altering events developing right now in Venezuela, in China, in Russia, in the United States of America, in Brazil, in France, in Italy, in Europe, in the UK. I mean, the list goes on and on, folks. The world is changing right now. We are truly living in historic and epic times. The crew is just coming into my ear with developing news stories. You had a bank hostage situation, 5 dead. You've got people, as I knew they would. As soon as I saw the Guthrie interview on NBC where you have a young child being attacked by a journalist who's domineering, leering at him the whole time. So that interview with where they're attacking children in interviews now, even the left is finally realizing how sick their own media members are. So you've got that going on. You've got Nancy Pelosi, it appears to have bullied Donald Trump into canceling the State of the Union. That's where that stands. We'll see if that develops or changes. You've got Michael Cohen just continuing to lie. I mean, the guy's just lying every time he opens his mouth. You've got the BuzzFeed story that gets disavowed by Robert Mueller. I mean, it's just all happening. And then you have intervention happening in Venezuela right now where it looks like you might have a hot situation. I mean, you've had multiple Venezuelans, I think, shot and maybe even killed today during protests. The Venezuelan President Maduro is about to be ousted. And so this is all happening. Now, I'm going to open up the phone lines for the next two segments. They're already lit up. 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. I do want to give an update. I have officially pressed charges against the woman that sexually assaulted me. I want to thank the few individuals that helped me with that situation. I'll leave it at that. And I just think it's ironic that it's just funny how the universe works. Again, I'm covering Tommy Sotomayor. I've been following him for years. He ends up covering me yesterday. We finally come together. He comes on air with me today. Great segments. And then you have the caller yesterday wanting me to, and Sandra in California. I mean, God bless her. It was a great call, but you know, she's saying, you know, Cernovich is throwing you under the bus. I just disagree because I understand what Cernovich is doing when he does the news coverage. I understand where she was coming from too. But again, of all the media people that reached out in response to my sexual harassment thing, the only one that offered any help was Mike Cernovich. So say what you want. That guy was there. Now, and again, I don't care if people want to throw me under the bus. I genuinely do not care. I'm here for the results. I'm here for victory, not for my own self-aggrandizement or whatever. Now, before I start taking your calls that are lining up right now, please go to InfoWarsStore.com and support us. Now, here's the thing. I go out to the state capitol building today, and I'm not complaining. Trust me, I love what I do. But because I understand that we have to run things at a shoestring budget, because I understand that the crew that works on the war room is doing 500 other things outside of what they do on the war room, and they still do such a great job here, I just go by myself to these events and I just shoot my own camera and do my own thing. So I'm literally walking around holding a camera and a microphone, just walking around, which again, I'm not complaining. I love it. But with your support, we can continue to grow and we can hire more camera people. We can hire more crew people so that our crew doesn't work, 20 straight days, three shows a day working on 100 things. We've got the brand new, which you probably noticed my energy. In fact, you could even ask the crew. I was yawning almost the entire first hour, just yawning, couldn't stop. I hit the turbo force at the top of the second hour. I haven't yawned since. The stuff really works. An incredible energy drink alternative. It works. I just showed you live on air a living example in the last hour and a half. I went from low energy, yawning in the first hour, to high energy, heart racing, pounding with focus and discernment for the rest of the broadcast. Turbo Forced, brand new energy drink alternative at InfoWarsStore.com. You're going to love it. You can taste just the goodness, the natural flavors and everything that's in there. And it's 33% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Don't forget about 50% off Bod Ease, 50% off Super Male Vitality. And hey, filter your water with the water filters from InfoWarsStore.com. Filter your air in your home with the air filters from InfoWarsStore.com. Take care of your family by filtering the air and water in your home with the air and water filters from InfoWarsStore.com. And again, I know you know this, but it's your support at InfoWarsStore.com that makes everything possible. We want to continue to expand in the face of this censorship, but it's literally impossible without your support and without our ability to expand our market reach, which they don't let us do because they ban us off social media. So your support at InfoWarsStore.com is key. And thank you so much for that, and God bless you. Now, let's go out to the phones. Let's start with Willie calling in from Tennessee. Willie, go ahead. You're on the air.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. First of all, I'd like to plug the Alexa Pure Pro water filters. They're amazing. Secondly, I'd like to thank you and Mr. Dew and Mr. Jones and Mr. Stone for signing that baseball for me a few months ago. And I hope you guys were able to try that meatloaf recipe that I sent.
You were the guy that had the baseball. Yeah, I remember signing that.
Yeah. Go Cubs. Don't hate me for that.
Well, that's right. You guys did win a World Series more recently than Cardinals, but I've still witnessed two, so I got you there. But go ahead.
That's all good, man. I was just of the opinion that with Pelosi calling for Trump to postpone the State of the Union, I think that it would be absolutely just gangster of Mr. President Trump to nationally give the speech as scheduled, nationally televise it. And if the Democrats don't show up, give a speech to the empty house and let the whole world see how the Democrats are stonewalling everything.
No, you're onto something here. And I don't know if the president is onto this as well, but you're onto something. The president can use this opportunity, again, to show how the Democrats are obstructionists, to show how they're anti-American, to show how they're hypocrites, double standards, everything. And there's so much energy in the Trump base right now. He needs to harness that energy and use this State of the Union address to just smash the Democrats.
All he has to do is show up and do his job to let everybody else know that they're not doing their job and they're not showing up. They're on vacation in Jamaica and Hawaii and, you know, whatever.
Literally.
And I'll hang up here in just a second. Two guys that you should check out if you're not hip to them. They'd be great guests. One guy's name, Quite Frankly, on YouTube. He does a daily two-hour show, podcast on YouTube. He's really good. He's out of New York. And then there's another guy named John Ward, who is a satirical and wordsmith genius. And he just tears people apart with words. He murders them with words, politely. It's amazing. So, like, check those guys out if you get the chance. Thank you for your time.
All right, will do, Willie. Yeah, I mean, I try to get a bunch of new guests on here. I'm constantly trying to expand our guest list and bring new people on, new personalities. It's really a fun experience to do that as well, and to hear from different people. So we'll look into that. Thank you for the call, Willie. You know what? We got a caller from Europe. Please hold. I want to take more time with you. Let's squeeze in Pastor Sam real quick here and get his thoughts on Venezuela. You know, it's interesting. You actually have been calling and saying this exact thing was going to happen in Venezuela for a while. So what do you think's going on?
This is 1776 worldwide, and I have proved that Venezuela is the source of the migrant caravans. All you have to do is find the Spanish language interview by binging up on any search engine, Pastor Sam hyphen Torres, T-O-R-R-E-S. That is our congresswoman's Spanish language interview. And it's plainly stated in that interview that the caravans are coming from Honduras and from Venezuela and were organized by those presidents. So there is a state of emergency on the border, whether we want to declare it or not. And really, the head of the snake is in Venezuela. These people were disarmed in 2015. They are fighting to regain our American history and to get Russia and China and the UN off of our continent. And finally, the president is on board. There were rumblings. There was a crescendo. Now it is happening, and I want military support. You know, Congressman Julio Borges, who is in exile in Colombia, has openly asked, he has cried out for military help to set aside the Venezuelan military and restore the constitutional order in Venezuela.
Oh, but yeah, but see, but this is the problem. We're too busy in the Middle East just dealing with that nonsense instead of helping our neighbors to the south. Thanks for the call, Pastor Sam. Look, this is tongue-in-cheek, but at a certain level, I think we should just send Sandy Cortez down to Venezuela and let her fix the situation. I mean, she knows how socialism works. She's got it all figured out. I say we send Sandy Cortez down to Venezuela. She'll figure it out. She can serve him some dogs. That's how socialism works.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
All right, I want to go to this clip, but first, I want to explain something here. This is a story from the Daily Beast. Team Trump finally disavows Pizzagate theorist who boasted of being on 2020 board. Let me explain something about Pizzagate that they won't tell you. It's real. It didn't start at a pizza place in D.C. It didn't start at InfoWars. It didn't start at Alex Jones. It didn't start anywhere except WikiLeaks. With pizza-related maps, pizza-related handkerchiefs, talking about children in hot tubs for your entertainment, Anthony Weiner, Joe Biden, okay? Joe Biden on camera groping young children. Anthony Weiner caught sexting young girls, underage girls, and this is all being bandied about inside the Democrat emails, the WikiLeaks emails. Pizzagate starts with the WikiLeaks, Many of these people have been caught, like Anthony Weiner. Pizzagate is real. But they say, oh, it's been disavowed, and anybody related to Pizzagate must be disavowed because they're conspiracy theorists. Read the damn WikiLeaks and tell me what a pizza-related map is. Now, before I play a shocking clip from one of the most hate-filled women in the history of television, Angela Rye, let's go to a caller from Europe, Bora. Go ahead, Bora. You're on the air.
Hey, man.
Hello. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so proud of you, man, everything you do. And I just want to just cut it and just mention what's going on. Okay, so I used to live in Turkey. And I left the country because of so much election fraud going on in the country. And I actually was calling about the electric vehicles that you were talking about. So it's political, but I want to get into the technological part. So here's the deal. You do not need gasoline to farm, okay? I bought a vehicle from the truck and installed a separate excited motor on it. And I was able to power the vehicle without any gasoline. And you actually don't even need batteries in it if you use a different technology, which is, I would call it old technology. But are you there?
Yeah, so are you just kind of getting into, you know, alternative energy that they won't release to the public?
So Chevron bought the battery patent. And I don't remember exactly, but the queen of either... I don't want to mention the name, but some queen bought other patents. So technically, you need to get the, I'm not racist, but you need to get the gasoline from the Arab countries. And the secondary source, as I know, was Venezuela. And now I am exempt from the Turkish military due to medical reasons. But I was forced to go in a battle to technically kill the Kurdish people. In order to fight the gasoline that they were smuggling from ISIS, okay? So I fought this for 20 years. I lived in the United States for 11 years. And I was going to this electric vehicle conversion project, and I bought a high-performance electric vehicle motor from GM Motors. And I've been always researching this stuff because we know the future is electric, and the past was electric. Electric cars were there for 100 years ago. There were ambulances, for crying out loud. But they just want to control this by the games on the media. And they want to control the batteries, okay? And if they can't control the batteries, there will not be transportation and there won't be any farming.
Well, and the stuff that you're talking about here is actually a very, I mean, it's an interesting subject to get into. And it's not something I'm an expert in. With the alternative energies and everything. But what's amazing about this is people don't understand how powerful you could use oil companies, gas companies, but it really goes beyond that. But for this example, they don't understand how powerful these people are. They buy off journalists. They pay people to write stories about their opposition to, you know, destroy their opposition. They do all kinds of stuff. I mean, just go back and look at what happened with Nikola Tesla. So this is a very serious issue that you're talking about, Bora, but just one quick question for you before we let you go. What is it, you know, being from Turkey and now living in Europe, what do you see happening right now across Europe and the Middle East with the fight for nationalism versus globalism?
Can you repeat it again?
Where do you think Europe and other countries stand when it comes to nationalism versus globalism?
Europe right now, there's no borders. I can go wherever I want in the European Union, okay? Some countries are doing okay, especially the country I'm in, but other countries are doing terrible. For example, Turkish people exported a lot of some terrorist organization. I will mention it. FETÖ, by the way, that young Turk guy is a FETÖ member. Sibel Edmond, the FBI whistleblower, already mentioned about that. You can watch it on YouTube video. So they exported a lot of people from Turkey to Germany and America. They're everywhere, okay? I lived in America, so I know that. So all these people were given everything on a gold platter, and they're operatives, okay? Muslim, especially Arabic, okay, the Islamic State. Okay, so Europe is right now, there's no borders, okay? And a lot of countries are collapsing. Some countries don't. Because the countries who are Republican, the countries who are not willing to take much foreigners, when I say foreigners, as in the people who don't fit in the country, okay? They just don't fit in. Who don't take those people, and they don't have much problems, as I've seen, because I've traveled so many countries in Europe. By the way, I wasn't going to tell you what country I was in. I was going to say I was in Elsa, but I'm in Slovenia. Okay, so greetings to Trump and Melania from Slovenia. I have a message for Trump. Okay, so you don't need a war to get gasoline. Okay, you can just send the military personnel to ethanol fields like Brazil does. You can just have the soldiers work on the ethanol fields and make a transition for the vehicle.
Well, they've actually been trying to do that in the West for a while, but it seems like President Trump's approach is just go internal and just get, you know, natural gas and stuff from America instead of going into the Middle East and trying to get the sweet that they have in Saudi Arabia and other stuff. Bora, thank you so much for your insight and your call today. I want to squeeze in one more call. Let's go to Travis in Georgia. Go ahead, Travis.
Hey, man.
Go ahead.
My question was, how come, let's say, more people on the right don't try to kind of lift each other up, as in, why can't, let's say, Alex ever get on One American News? And, I mean, obviously they don't go too far down the rabbit hole on anything. But, I mean, they can set parameters on stuff that they don't want to cover. And that way, you know, Alex can, you know, get his name out there as credible as he is.
Well, I think that there's a couple angles to this. I mean, they do cover Alex Jones on One American News Network, and there's a lot of good people over there. And I don't think that they're intentionally trying to censor Alex Jones per se. You know, I don't know if they've reached out to Alex for like guest interviews live on air or anything. I know that they've interviewed Alex before and covered him. As far as Fox News is concerned, they'll never let Alex on. They view us as competition, like that would ultimately destroy them, because they like to play games and play cat videos and have Shep Smith on air and read off teleprompters. So they know organically more people would be drawn to InfoWars than Fox News because we're just better at covering news and stuff. So it's kind of a competitive thing. Plus, they blackball Michael Savage. They pretty much blackball any conservative that won't go along with whatever they think their agenda is. You know, CNN obviously won't have Alex on after he gave them the greatest ratings they ever had when he went on with Piers Morgan. They got rid of Piers, too. You know, MSNBC. So, you know, I don't know. To answer your question, as far as the, I think it just kind of goes in lockstep with what's always been happening. They don't want to bring Alex on air because they've dehumanized him and classified into a box of conspiracy theorists. It doesn't matter that he's right. It doesn't matter that what he's been reporting on for years ends up coming true. It's all about the stigma of not wanting to be associated with a conspiracy theorist. And I'm not saying this is OAN or Fox News or anything. I'm just saying in general, it's cowards that are so afraid of the media and so afraid of what somebody might think about them that they will not do the full measure to cover certain stories like getting Alex Jones on air to talk about the censorship because they're so afraid of being associated with InfoWars and Alex Jones, they don't even want to touch it. Look, I don't want to name names. I'm still friends with some of these people, but folks, I mean, and I'm sure as you know, Travis, I mean, they won't have us on. And they're told from their higher-ups, you don't go on InfoWars. In fact, some of them, they're not even allowed to talk to us, folks. And that's just the state of the things that we deal with here at InfoWars. The censorship, the blackballing doesn't ever stop us. And it never will. Thanks to your support at InfoWarsStore.com and your prayers and your spreading of the links and InfoWars.com. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.